Good morning to you again. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I'd like to thank you for joining us in the broadcast today. We are currently in our 30th sermon in our Bible prophecy series, and in our last three sermons we have been dealing with the Satanic Trinity. And we have identified that Satanic Trinity as Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now the theme of this particular series is, once again, that Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You need to know that Satan is looking to devour you. And as a Christian, you should not be ignorant of his devices. He is your adversary. He is my adversary. We need to know the enemy. That's the theme. Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want to open us up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to preach and proclaim the Word of God. I want to praise you for the good Word of God. I want to praise you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, Lord, for saving me from my sin, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for the eternity that I have to spend with thee, Lord. I look forward to the time when I can look upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb to be praised in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would also like, if you're not in a good Bible-believing church, I would like to invite you to come and join up with us here at Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. Last week when we closed out, we had started talking about the fact that Satan is the great imitator. And we also said that he produced many different counterfeits. And one of the counterfeits that he has produced is a counterfeit God. And we went and read in Isaiah chapter 14, where ultimately Satan, in his five I wills, at the end of them, he wants to be like the Most High God. In other words, he wants to be God himself. And then we went and picked up on the fact also that Satan, in his vain glory, will attempt to appear in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ. He will come as a false Messiah, and in that role, he is the counterfeit of counterfeit Christ. The Antichrist is, if you will, a satanic kingpin. And Satan has prepared a man in every generation since the Lord Jesus Christ arose and went back to heaven. He has prepared and had a man prepared in every generation to assume the role of Antichrist. And there's a man on the face of this earth right now who has been prepared to assume that role when the time comes. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, the Holy Ghost also had this to say in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them." Paul feared that the church at Corinth might bear with one of these false teachers that showed up. And there would be, he said that they'd show up preaching another Jesus, they'd be preaching another gospel, and they'd show up in the power of another spirit. And that spirit, by the way, is the spirit of Satan. The Holy Ghost also said this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, and 1 John 4, 3, that Satan, in his role as the counterfeit Christ, will deny that the Lord Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Let's go and read those verses now. That's one of the biggest heresies today, is the denial that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is God. He is God in the flesh. He is the God-man. And he will occupy that role for eternity as the God-man. when he descended from heaven to the earth and was crucified on that cross for your sins and for my sins, and then he ascended back to heaven, he was never the same again. He is now the eternal God-man. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And here's the key in verse 22 of that same chapter. 1 John 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And this really seals it up. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The Antichrist will show up denying that the Lord Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And that's part of his deception. He wants people to believe that he is the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. He wants to usurp the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the proof of those scriptures that I just got through reading exists abundantly in our time, where the spirit of Antichrist pervades in our churches, because not one in 50 of them teach that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Hear that? Not one in 50 of them teach that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. By the way, I want to remind you, that's the reason why not only did the Lord Jesus Christ not sin, that's the reason he could not sin, is because he was God in the flesh. In our day, if you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, you will either get a blank stare or an outrageous argument that will deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will even express a satanic belief that the Lord Jesus Christ could have sinned. And remind you once again, he could not have sinned because he is God. He is sinless. He is the perfect Lamb of God that was offered for our sins. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God and the only one that was qualified to take away the sin of the world, because he is and was sinless. Now, the role of the Antichrist ultimately sees its fulfillment in Revelation chapter 13, is where he shows up at. In Satan's role as the Antichrist, he not only appears as being against Christ, but he also once again wants to appear in the stead of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. You look at Revelation chapter 13, you'll see that he had two horns like a lamb, but it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ that was speaking. It was the devil himself. Now, Satan also produces counterfeit spirits. The counterfeit spirits will ultimately culminate in the spirit of Antichrist that will take possession of Satan's high priest, the false prophet. That's right, you heard it right. The false prophet is Satan's high priest. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 15, the false prophet performs great wonders, whose objective is to focus worship upon the Antichrist. That's what it's all about. In other words, the false prophet points the unsaved to the Antichrist. In this role, he is counterfeiting, he is counterfeiting the Holy Ghost of God in his role of pointing unsaved folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. What the devil will do, excuse me for a moment, is point through the Spirit, will point people to him instead of to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this counterfeit spirit that I was just talking about is described in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, and also in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So there's another spirit that's associated with Satan. And then let's turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Folks, we are to try the spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Let me repeat that again. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So the spirit of Antichrist is already there. And I've already stated that. It pervades in our churches today, the spirit of Antichrist does. People are more interested in self-esteem today than they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're more interested in uplifting and exalting themselves rather than uplifting and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And a spirit that shows up that uplifts a man rather than the Lord Jesus Christ is this spirit of the Antichrist that we're talking about. If the Holy Ghost of God shows up in the congregation of a church, the Lord Jesus Christ will be uplifted and exalted. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not being routinely uplifted and exalted, there is a problem in that church with a spirit that is not of God. Now, Satan also produces a counterfeit gospel as evidenced by Acts chapter 15 verse 1, 2 Corinthians 11, 4 again, and Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Turn now in your Bible to Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. That works all the way. If you have to do something in your flesh, and that's a work of the flesh. Circumcision is a work of the flesh. And by the way, most professing Christianity today is a work of the flesh. But if you have to do something that is of the flesh, then that cannot lead to salvation. 2 Corinthians 11, 4, once again, just read it, but I'm going to reread it again. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So there it is. There's another gospel. Now turn up to Galatians chapter 1, and let's read verses 6 through 9. This is Satan once again talking about Paul rebuking the churches in Galatia because they were trying to return to the weak and beggarly elements of the law rather than grace. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says, if you come in preaching another gospel, let you be damned to hell. That's what he's saying. Let you be accursed. Anything that adds to or takes away from the gospel is a false gospel. If it requires you to work to get it, it's a false gospel. It's heresy. If it requires you to work to keep it, it is a false gospel. It is heresy. All right, now, Satan also produces counterfeit baptism, which is baptism before salvation. And by the way, Anytime that baptism is required for salvation, that is also a false baptism. If you're going to be saved, then you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost at the time of your salvation. There will be you're not required to receive a second blessing in order to receive salvation. You get, at the moment of salvation, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, this idea of the counterfeit baptism, a case in point occurs in the scriptures in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Let's go and look at this particular passage of scripture briefly. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him," that is, on Christ Jesus. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, the formula for baptism is to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a baptism that involves all three parts of the Godhead, the Trinity, in other words. The folks in Acts chapter 19 were baptized unto another baptism that was not baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why they were required to be baptized. By the way, if you get saved after you've been baptized, then you must be rebaptized, because baptism is only for those that have received the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not get baptized and then get saved. That turns the scriptural order upside down. And by the way, for you water dogs out there, baptism is not required for salvation. And by the way, baptism is not a sacrament either, as is taught by many of the Protestant denominations and Roman Catholic. It's not a sacrament. It is a church ordinance, one of the two, the other being the Lord's Supper. Now, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, and we've hit that a number of times and we're going to hit it again, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 29, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Satan also produces counterfeit preachers. Now let's go and read those four passages and prove that Satan produces counterfeit preachers. How many times in your lifetime, if you have any years on you, have you learned that a particular preacher has made a profession of faith? They come to salvation after they've been preaching for years. That is the case in most of the pulpits in the United States of America today. We have pulpits full of unsaved preachers. They're counterfeit preachers. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and let's read verses 13 through 15. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now look at that. They're Satan's ministers, unsaved preachers in the pulpits. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. This is the favorite chapter of those folks that say, "Judge not." When they pull it out of context, you'll see here that there's some very serious judgment taking place in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, dealing with false prophets. There's a warning issued here. And by the way, to make that judgment, you must judge people as to whether or not they're lining up with the scriptures. The whole intent of Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 is to not judge hypocritically. You ought to judge righteous judgment. You ought to judge scriptural judgment. Matthew chapter 7 verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And in this particular chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ calls out some and tells them to get out of his sight because he never knew them. Talking about these false prophets that occupy the pulpits and occupy the pastors and stuff. There are Satan's preachers and pastors out there. Acts chapter 20 verse 29 now. Acts chapter 20 verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 now. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. There has never been a time in the history of the Christian church when the way of the truth has been more evil spoken of than it has today. We have independent Baptist preachers that are molesting children. We have independent Baptist preachers that are going to prison because they whore around on their wives with teenagers. We have independent Baptist preachers that have set themselves up as gods. We have independent Baptist preachers that are exalting themselves and bragging upon the number of people that have been saved under their ministries. That is not a scriptural way to operate. Now, true to its nature, many times when we look at the religious wolf pack, which we just got through looking at these particular passages of scripture, talked about the grievous wolves in Acts 20 verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So true to the nature of this wolf pack, it's a religious wolf pack too, by the way, many times it is being led by a woman with the spirit of Jezebel. Today it is such a sad reality that most of the men in our churches are nothing more than spiritual eunuchs who refuse to exercise the God-ordained role of authority that has been scripturally commanded upon them. It's a commandment, folks. It's a commandment that the man take charge in the house of God. It is a commandment that the man take charge in the home. He is the head of the home, and as such, God holds the man responsible for that which takes place in the home, and as such, he holds the man responsible for that which takes place in the church. Men are put into roles of leadership, and if some of you women out there do not like it, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God, because he ordained it in the Word of God. Now, next to the counterfeit Christ that Satan has substituted in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most dangerous counterfeit that Satan has ever produced is counterfeit Bibles. In our lifetime, we have watched one filthy English perversion after another come slithering forth from the sewer of Satan's mind into the perverted pulpits and congregations of apostate American Christianity. There's no power in our churches because there's no Bible in our churches. These perversions come hissing forth from translation committees that are nothing more than dens of iniquity and unbelief, and also hotbeds of heresy. They are not versions, but perversions of the Word of God. They are Satan's prostitutes. We do not call the King James Bible the King James Version. It is the King James Bible. The King James Bible is the most maligned Bible ever. But yet, on the other hand, unsaved secular experts say the King James Bible is the most beautiful piece of literature that has ever been written in any language on the face of this earth. In the King James Bible, you have a perfect Bible that presents a perfect Savior with a perfect plan of salvation. And let me make some people nervous here. The King James Bible is inspired. Now, a lot of people will tell you that it is heresy to say that. What they'll do is they'll tell you that the Bible is inspired in the originals. The problem with that is we don't have the originals. We do not have them. Now, if you do not have a perfect Bible, then you do not have the Word of God, but instead you've got a perversion of it. There have been at least 190 different English translations, either of the complete Bible or the New Testament, that have been published since the King James Bible was first published in 1611. There were 16 major English translations in the 1700s, 34 in the 1800s, 93 in the 1900s, and at least 10 since the year 2000. Do you notice how these translations are proliferating? Now, we have, and specifically I, have studied the translation issue quite extensively, and I could go into much depth here, but I simply do not have the time. Perhaps at some point in time we will do a series on the King James Bible. It is the only Bible for English-speaking peoples. Satan has sought to pervert God's word from the very beginning. Remind you of something here, and let's look at this. In Satan's first speaking appearances in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, he sought to pervert the very words of the living God. First appearances, he messes with the Word of God. If somebody's messing with the Word of God, correcting the Word of God, a better translation this, a better that, correcting the Bible, then that is a spirit of Satan that is involved in that. Here's what Satan, his first speaking appearance, said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Question the Word of God right there. Now, in Satan's temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this in Matthew 4, verse 6. And saith unto him, this is his first speaking appearance, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And what he done here is he took the Word of God out of Psalm chapter 91 and twisted it, is what he done. So you see, what he does at the outset of the Old Testament and at the outset of the New Testament is he perverts the words of the living God. I'm going to have more to say about this next week. I want to thank you for joining us this morning, and I pray that the Lord will richly bless you.